time. The silent herald of life and death, success or failure. The unseen force that measures man's destiny, reaching its most fateful moment as it slowly strikes the 11th hour.
My, but you do look miserable.
Hi, Miriam.
What's wrong? Row with the editor?
Not exactly a row. He's turned down my article. He says it reads like fiction.
Is it fiction?
Well, it could have happened.
That will teach you.
But how am I to write about current news when that kind of reporting is always given to the seniors?
Oh.
I never get a chance to show what I can do.
The cry of every cub reporter since Henry Caxton.
But it's true. I thought if I wrote a fictitious story, as though it were an actuality, the boss might consider giving me an assignment. Oh, well, it seems I was wrong. What are you doing with those copies?
Oh, well, you know me. Chief filing clerk. I'm off down to the stockroom.
Hey, wait a minute. Hey, that's given me an idea. I'm coming with you. I've just thought of something. If the boss wasn't as bald as a badger, I'd give him a story that would curl his hair. Come on.
Never been in here before, Dale?
Oh, no, it's eerie. Supposing we can't get out?
Oh, don't be an ass. It isn't a vault. Now, I don't know what harebrained scheme you've got in mind, but I have to file these copies away.
The archives, eh? Everything ever reported by the Morning Sun. Ah, let's see. I suppose it's a question of luck.
What are you talking about? What are you looking for?
I don't know. That's why I say it's a matter of luck. So, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Here, what have we got here? September the 12th, 1937. That's good enough. 30 years should be sufficient.
Dale, what does all this mean?
Simple enough. I'm going to look up the most infamous crime I can find in this newspaper and check up on its consequences.
Are you crazy? Didn't the boss also tell you that the worst kind of news is dead news?
It isn't if the people concerned are still alive. Supposing I hit on a new angle.
Oh, I get it. The where are they now type of thing. Oh, that's been done too many times.
Oh, I don't think so. Anyway, it's a chance I'm willing to take. Now.
You must be desperate.
Give me a hand. Funny clothes they wore.
Yes. What price the miniskirt? All those veils on their hats.
Hey, wait a minute. This is interesting. Right here on the front page. I almost missed it. Famous music comedy star acquitted.
What's that? Who was it?
Norma Davis.
Oh, yes. I seem to remember something about her. My dad used to say she was great. Mixed up in some scandal, wasn't she?
Oh, better than that. A murder trial. The death of Tarquin Davis. This is just what I was looking for. Now, according to this, Norma Davis was around 30 years old. That means she's only pushing 60 now. The chances are that she's still alive. And if she is, oh, boy, what a story she must have to tell.
But, Dale, she may be living in another part of the world. Married again and quite unable to be traced. You haven't a hope of finding her.
Oh, just watch me.
And even if you do, why should she talk to you?
Oh, I don't know. Well, one step at a time. Come on, let's get out of here. I've got work to do. I'll see you at lunchtime in the Golden Pheasant across the road.
Sorry, I'm a bit late, Dale.
That's all right. Sit yourself down. I've ordered cold beef salads in half a mile.
Fine.
He'll be here soon. Now, let me tell you what I've been working on.
Oh, we're back on the Norma Davis bit, are we? All right. Carry on. Where do you think you've started?
I've had a wonderful stroke of luck, Miriam. I really have. I went back to the office, and under cover of doing other things, I read up the case. It seems this woman, Norma Davis, was accused of getting her husband drunk and then tippling him off a 10-story balcony. It was a great scandal at the time.
Yes. I spoke to Dad about it on the phone. He remembers it well. Said that it spelt the end to her career.
Yeah, quite true. I then got chatting to old Mercer. You know, the old fellow on the correcting desk. He's been a reader all his life and knows more about the Daily Sun than the editor does. He says that there was one person who always stood by Norma Davis during those days. It was her impresario, her backer. The man who put on all her shows, Bruce Markham.
Bruce Markham? Never heard of him.
No, perhaps not. He must be a very old man now. But I found out where he lives, and I telephoned him. And I've got an appointment to see him this evening. If anyone can tell me what's happened to Norma Davis, he will. Would you like to come with me, Miriam?
I'm sorry. I don't like to be rude to young people, but had I known the purpose of your visit, I should not have consented to see you.
I'm sorry you feel like that, Mr. Markham.
These are the days of the hippies, of the with it cult. Why do you wish to pry into the past?
We didn't mean to offend you, Mr. Markham.
Oh, you surely have enough sensationalistic events going on in your own world. Why try to delve back 30 years?
Well, it would be very interesting to know what happened to Norma Davis, and there might be a lesson in it for the modern generation.
If I thought you believed that, I'd be more tolerant.
Oh, but we do, Mr. Markham. I'm approaching journalism in a very serious frame of mind.
I'm delighted to hear it. But you'll have to go somewhere else for your copy. I cannot help you.
Are you sure, Mr. Markham?
Quite sure. You see, Norma Davis is dead. She's been dead for over 10 years.
Well, if you want to know what I think that it's dark.
I tell you that old bird was lying. He knew telling us she was dead was the one thing that would get rid of us, that would put a stop to our inquiries once and for all. Norma Davis is alive, and he's going to lead us to her.
I still don't see why we should spend a perfectly good evening sitting here in your car just up the road from his house. What do you think's going to happen?
I have a hunch.
Oh, fine time for hunches.
I have a hunch that that old geezer knows that Norma Davis is living in the city. In fact, hey, now, don't look up, but here he comes, getting into that saloon outside his house. I had an idea that car was his. Now, come on, here we go. Time. What's the address, Miriam?
The house is called Hessery, Shoreham Lane.
That's good enough for me. That, unless I'm very much mistaken, is the present abode of Miss Norma Davis.
Well, what now?
How to invade the castle. That's the problem, isn't it, Miriam? Well, she won't talk to a cub reporter, but she may talk to an old actor friend. And I think I know just the man.
I tell you, the whole proposition is out of the question, dear boy.
Look, Mr. Hunter.
Oh, Lance, please. I may be an out-of-work old-timer, but I'm not so square that I can't be called by my first name.
Very well, then, Lance. Now, don't you see that this is a great opportunity?
Well, it may be for you. I can't quite see what there is in it for me.
Look, you knew Norma Davis, didn't you? You admired her?
Of course, everyone in the profession did. It was never my privilege to work with her, but I should have liked to have done. I have very much indeed.
Then you can't help but be interested in my proposal. All you have to do is to call at Hessery. Say you're an old admirer. Check if she is Norma Davis. And if she is, then get from her her memories of a trial after 30 years.
A tall order. As I say, I'm out of work actor, but
Whatever you care to ask as a fee, I'll guarantee the morning sun will pay you. And here's a retainer.
Very well. I haven't anything to lose. I'll risk it. I'll try and arrange a meeting. I don't think it'll work, but I'll try.
Oh, good. Oh, but take a tip from me. She must be a recluse living quite apart and wanting it that way. So whatever you do, don't give your real name. Make it mysterious. That's the way to get an intro. Leave her wondering who it is of importance who has called to look her up. Now, let's go over it all in detail.
Waiting, miss.
Show him in, Mary. Show him in.
I don't believe it. It can't be. And yet not the slightest bit changed. Norma.
That voice is very familiar. It comes back to me over the years. I know you, don't I?
And let us say that you did know me.
It can't be. Is it you, Stephen? Oh, no, it can't be. I can never be that fortunate. Is it you, Stephen?
Can't you see it is?
No, my dear. I can't, not very well. My eyes...
Oh, you don't mean... No.
I always had bad sight, you remember that?
Yes, of course.
But... You remember that first night at His Majesty's when I almost tripped down the stairs? It was the ninth scene in the highwayman's play. What was it called? Not the beggar's opera, the other one.
Money on Your Wife?
Yes. Yes, that was it. Oh, Steve, I thought you were dead.
Everybody thinks you are.
I know. That's the way I wanted it to be.
It's been like this ever since. Ever since he died, hasn't it?
Yes. It had to be that way, didn't it?
I suppose so.
Although no one knows the truth.
Only you do. And that's the way it should be, Norma.
Yes, that's the way it should be.
Do other folk come here? Do you get many visitors from the old days?
Oh, very few. Bruce Markham calls occasionally. Poor thing. He's getting old. Full of warnings and dreadful tidings. But then he always was, wasn't he?
Yes, always.
Oh, Stephen, sit down. Please do. Tell me all about yourself. I'm so pleased that you called. When my maid told me it was an old admirer, I don't mind telling you I had my doubts. But the moment I heard your voice, I knew.
You did?
Of course. And bless you for one thing.
Oh.
You're the one person in the world I know who won't ask me that dreadful question. Did you really kill your husband?
But this is great, Lance. You can't give up now.
My dear boy, I can't go on. This woman takes me for another actor. Someone she starred with. Someone called Stephen. Must be Stephen Manners. He was her leading man in quite a few West End shows. She mentioned at least two of them.
But this is wonderful, Lance.
It isn't wonderful at all. I was a moral coward. I should have owned up there and then. I didn't because I was so touched. This old half-blind woman, still looking beautiful. That same warm, delightful personality that charmed thousands before the last war. I was so overcome with nostalgia that I could not tell the truth.
We don't want you to tell the truth, Lance. We want her to. You've got to keep going back. Pretend you're Stephen Manners. Find out all you can about him. Talk to the old-timers. Find out everything about his life and go back to Hessery and give the performance of your life. I've got to know her version of the death of Tarquin Davis. And you've got to get it for me.
Baldale, how's the research into the Davis case going?
No, it isn't.
Oh?
The trouble I'm having with that old ham Lance Huntington isn't true. He's now clamped down on the whole affair. Refuses to talk about Norma Davis and has even returned the retainer I gave him.
Well, that's honest anyway. If he's not working for you, he shouldn't keep the money.
No, that's all very well, but it was going so nicely. Well, we found out everything about this actor Stephen Manners, whom Lance was to impersonate. It was dead easy. He's only a few years older than Lance and has retired to Australia. Lance could have carried on fooling Norma Davis until he got an exclusive story out of her. Then we could have stepped in and made her the proposition that we print the thing. Once the story was out, I'd have been able to have persuaded her. I know I would have.
Oh, I'm not so sure about that. I should think she'd be so furious at being tricked, she'd throw you both out of the place.
You know, it's a funny thing, Miriam. But I've got a strange feeling that Lance is still going there. I think he's still seeing her. But if he is, why doesn't he talk about it? It's all most peculiar.
More tea, Stephen, my dear.
Oh, thank you, no, Norma. That was most pleasant.
In the old days, you never drank tea. You used to say it was insipid.
I know. But I've acquired the taste for it over the years. I've grown to appreciate it as I've grown to appreciate many other things. One learns even later in life.
Yes, I agree. Oh, how strange it is to sit talking like this.
I love listening to you reminiscing. It's all so interesting. I can't tell you how much I admire you, Norma. When you were a star, you captivated me with your talent and charm. Now you overwhelm me with your courage.
Oh, no, not courage. It's more self-determination. I know that this tray has been my downfall. It caused Tarquin's death. He made the headlines to a greater extent than any of us, didn't he? Tarquin Davis, famous painter, falls to his death. Oh, and then the questions, the rumors, the suspicions, the trials.
And the acquittal. But you don't want to talk about it. Let's change the subject.
No, please. I do want to talk about this. You have a right to know.
Norma, please. Before you say anything, I must tell you something. It's most important.
It can wait. Please, Stephen, let me continue.
Oh, very well.
I've no need to conjure up the memories. No need to search my mind for hidden facts. It's ever present. Now, in my dark world, where the sunshine appears as a faint glow each day, I've no need to close my eyes in order to go back into the past. I see things inside my mind more clearly than I see the things around me in this room. I remember it all so vividly. Tarquin's dead body on the pavement. I recall instantly the story I was going to tell the world, the story I did tell the police. I told them that Tarquin had come home late that evening. At least that was true.
Norma, oh, darling.
You still up?
Yes, dear. You're very late.
I didn't feel like leaving the studio.
How's the latest work coming on? Who are you painting this time?
The Honorable Lady Cresham. She has a face like a red gooseberry, round veins and covered with fluffy hair. I can't do her justice. Oh, it's a hot night. Have you got anything to drink?
Drinks, tray, with ice in the bucket, all out on the balcony.
Oh, good.
Did you go to the specialist today?
Yes. That's another reason why I need a drink.
Darling, it's not bad news.
For a man who earns his living with his hands, it could hardly be worse. He says it'll grow into almost total paralysis.
Tarquin. Oh, my dear.
Oh, I've got a few more years yet in which I can paint and pour drinks. You want one?
No, thank you. Oh, darling, be careful on that balcony. The rail's loose. Remember, the man should have come to fix it.
What's that?
I said, be careful of the rail near the table. Don't lean on it. Tarquin, 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 look out! Oh! Story I gave to the police. It was a pity it wasn't accepted. Everyone would have been happy, wouldn't they?
But there was the other evidence. The evidence of the people in the block of flats across the way.
Yes, they came forward. Two sets of people. They swore an oath that they saw me struggling with Tarquin on that balcony. And, of course, they were right. Came out of the trial. I told them I'd lied with my original story because I wanted to save Tarquin's good name. Oh, again, that at least was true. Of course, he had come home late. But he was drunk.
Are you still up, are you, Norma?
Yes, dear. I was waiting for you.
I was hoping that you'd be gone to bed. I didn't want you to see me like this.
Oh, Tarquin, come and sit down. Where have you been?
Trying to paint that gooseberry-faced Lady Cresham. I couldn't do it. You know why?
You've had too much to drink, darling.
No, that's not it. It's my hands, Norma. They're finished.
You've been to the specialist?
The prognosis is definite. Complete paralysis within a very short time. I can't go on, Norma. I can't. This is far too much.
Tarquin, my dear.
You go to bed. We'll talk about it later.
No, I shan't be able to sleep anyway.
I'm going to help myself to a drink.
Don't you think you've had enough?
Not for what I intend to do. I won't have enough courage unless I have another few drinks.
Tarquin, what do you mean?
I'll show you. I can't go on. I can't.
Oh, Tarquin, what are you talking about? Come away from that balcony.
I'm going to have one more drink. There.
Tarquin, don't. Don't. Oh, stay away from that balcony. The rail is loose.
Rail loose, eh? Good. Then you can say that it was an accident, can't you? Painter falls to death. Accident, yes.
Tarquin, give me that glass. Please,
oh, let
dear.
Me go. Let me go.
Tarquin.
Go me. I can't live without my work, you know that. Let me go. There. I'll show you. Ah!
And that was the story that came out at the trial. Of course, the prosecution said that I planned to kill Tarquin, that I removed the rail from the balcony, and in the struggle pushed him over. I didn't. There was a struggle. The witnesses were correct. But the jury believed in Tarquin's suicide. My acquittal was a just and correct verdict. I didn't kill Tarquin. You know that, don't you?
I could never have believed that you did.
And you would still like to know the exact story, wouldn't you?
Another version?
Yes. A true one this time. Tarquin was drunk that night, and he was late. Oh, this wasn't so unusual. Tarquin was always drunk, ever since he'd heard that his hands were getting worse. He'd hardly been sober before. I knew that things were getting to the end between us.
No. So you're still up, are you? Neither am I. What a surprise.
Tarquin, I have to speak to you.
No, I've got no time for talk. Where's the drinker?
Out there on the balcony, but you had enough. You must listen to me.
I've just spent 3 hours listening to Lady Gooseberry Face, silly old fool. Can't stand another woman nagging at me.
Tarquin, I'm leaving you.
What?
I'm leaving you. I can't stand these endless rows, this continual drunkenness. I'm leaving you.
Why?
I've just told you why.
Oh, no, no, you haven't. I know you. You're lying. There's someone else, isn't there? Another man. You're being unfaithful to me again, aren't you?
That's not true.
Oh, yes, it is. Well, you aren't going. I'm tired of your endless affairs making me look an idiot.
Tarquin, listen to me.
No, you won't go to him. You won't.
Stay away from me. Stay away.
Oh, you can't stop me. You want to choose someone else because you know I'm soon to be crippled and helpless.
Tarquin,
that's it, isn't it?
Stay away.
You walk out on me, will you? Now I've caught you on this balcony, haven't I? Well, the rail is loose. I should have had it fixed, but this time it'll come in handy. Famous musical comedy star falls accidentally from balcony. Yes.
No, no, leave me alone. Leave me alone. No. That was the true story. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't suicide. It was attempted murder. He tried to kill me. It was quite the opposite way round from that which the public believed.
But why? Why didn't you tell the true story? Was it simply to protect his good name? It couldn't have been, Norma. If that account of Tarquin's death is the true one, then why didn't you tell it in court? Why? Told me so much. Please complete it. Why didn't you tell the court the truth?
Because Tarquin was right. I was unfaithful to him. I kept quiet to conceal the name of my lover. I've never regretted it. Oh, I was in danger for a while, but the acquittal was just, and the man's name was never revealed. There now, you know everything. Open confession is good for the soul. And there's no need to ever mention it again, is there?
You may be sure I shan't. But speaking of confessions, I have one for you.
You have?
Yes, it's been on my conscience for weeks. From the moment I came in here and you took me for Stephen Manners, I'm not Stephen, Norma. Oh, if you could see me properly, you'd know that I'm not. My voice must be very like his.
It is very, very like his. Who are you, then?
My name is Lance Huntingdon. I'm an actor. Never worked with you. I'm not a very good actor.
An old friend, Bruce Markham, told me that there was a move afoot to probe into my past.
Yet you told me all this.
If you'd been Stephen Manners, you would never have told.
I won't. I swear I won't.
But you see, I've known you weren't Stephen Manners for some time.
You have? But I thought you said...
Oh, you sound like him. And as I say, it was an excellent performance. But you see, you wouldn't have reacted like you did had you been the real Stephen.
No.
No, because you see, Stephen Manners was the man I was to have run away with. The man I lied to protect.
I see. And you never married him?
He slipped out of the country while the trial was on. That's how much his love was worth. He deserted me. Oh, I've forgiven him.
Norma. Norma, do forgive me too.
Of course. Willingly.
And
Lance.
I may come to see you as usual.
I should be bitterly unhappy if you didn't.
I shan't desert you, Norma. Now that I've found you, I'll not desert you.
Thank you, my dear.
So the story has a happy ending after all. Pity young Dale can't use it, isn't it?
Time. The silent herald of life and death. Success or failure. The unseen force that measures man's destiny, reaching its most fateful moment as it slowly strikes the 11th hour.